It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back. It is always a good day. When I wake up and I give thanks, I step out into my small recording studio, and I have the opportunity to speak to just extraordinary human beings. Welcome to The Next Room. My name is Jane Asher. The Next Room, this show covers every aspect of a topic that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but it's for sure something that all of us will experience, and that is death. The show covers death, dying, the big one, grief, cultural traditions, living trusts and wills, right to die matters, hospice care, and the afterlife, which if you've been listening to the show at all, you know Jane's a big fan of the afterlife. The show is now in its fourth year, continues to attract a growing audience of experts, authors, psychic mediums, other curious individuals, and even the mom next door who love to explore kind of what's next. So thank you so much for being here. You are really going to be absolutely with your ear up to the speaker on this show, and you're probably going to listen to it again and again, and you're going to share it with other people. Boy, oh boy, I am so thrilled that this lady would join me. Carla Kaufman Sloan. Carla and I met through Camille Dan, who Camille is putting together this beautiful afterlife project. It's an anthology. There's about 40 of us, different writers that have all generously agreed to give her a chapter. And she wants to put together this beautiful book, which will be out this summer. Doesn't have a name yet, so we're just calling it the Afterlife Anthology Project. But Carla is part of it. That's how I got to meet her. And then once I started peeling back the layers of Carla's story, I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to have her on The Next Room. So Carla, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Jane. I have to say, I immediately ordered your book when I knew I was going to get to talk to you. And it was so beautiful and amazing that you and your mom, and is it Pam, the medium who helped facilitate?
Yes.
It's a gorgeous book. And so many of the things that your mother brings through, I wholeheartedly believe and have come to know myself. And I just loved it. So I'm humbled to be here and excited to speak with you as well.
Wow. Well, Carla, thank you for that. But this isn't about my book, and it is all about what's happening with you. Carla, you have an upcoming book, which you're just in the process. And the working title is Calder, A Love Story. Tell me what happened and that pivot, that tragedy in 2014 that occurred to you and your husband and your other son that made you start this journey into self-discovery about afterlife and all the other things that we're going to discuss today.
All right. Well, as you said, it's not anyone's favorite topic, which is grief, but it will affect every single person on the planet. And I think especially now on the heels, hopefully the heels of COVID, it has become so all-encompassing about everything in our lives now. But for me personally, my son was electrocuted in the swimming pool of our own backyard. Mm-hmm. So to say like you are not expecting something or you're going along with your plan and the rug is pulled out from under you is an understatement. I wasn't sure I was going to come back from that. It was just shocking. It was, I mean, not to like sound like I'm making a play on electrocution, but I literally didn't know what to do. Like we went to a birthday party for a friend of ours. We had had the same nanny for years. We asked her to just watch the boys for 2 hours. The first day of spring break, we hadn't been out of the house, and we got the call, every parent dreads. And from the minute she said my name on the telephone, I just knew what had happened. And it is a you know, something that once it happens to you as a parent, you belong to a group of people that, you know what, that you don't want to be a part of, but truly over the last 7 years, these people have really held me up and we've been able to help each other through this crazy life that unfolded for us.
So Calder was only seven and he was electrocuted in your backyard pool because of negligent faulty wiring, correct?
Yes. Okay. Negligent faulty wiring coupled with the fact that when they built the majority of the pools in Florida, they didn't have any kind of law against having a high voltage light in a swimming pool. So a tiny pool in a backyard with this high voltage light.
Oh my goodness.
And the faulty wiring just created, it was just the most horrible storm of things that could happen. And it just was an accident that no one could have foreseen, even though, you know, when you have a child die as a mother, you have years and years or months or just so much guilt and grief because that's your job, is to protect your child. Mm-hmm. I mean, how would I know there's a faulty high voltage pool light? I don't know, but I expected myself to know. And so my husband jumped into action immediately, going up to Tallahassee to try to get the laws changed. Because even in my small community, no one had any idea. I had dozens of friends who took the pool lights out of their pool because they found out afterwards, you know, it was a high voltage pool light. I mean, that was just unbelievable.
Wow. I am so sorry. I mean, I hear you and I can see that the grief is still there. You know, it's something when you love a child or you love your children, you do feel like, oh, my number one job is to, you know, keep them out of traffic, you know, and not have them stick a fork in a socket and all that stuff that happens, make sure they don't drink poison. And, you know, we're there to protect them. And so this happened and obviously not anyone's fault except for the negligence on the wiring side. So after this happens, I know you went through just this unfathomable time where you couldn't even get out of bed, you know, drinking yourself silly and having suicidal thoughts, which I would assume would be very normal almost, even though suicide isn't a normal thought. But when you go through a tragedy like losing a child, I could see where that would be something. How and when did the shift occur when you decided you could invest in this, starting this nonprofit and moving forward?
Well, it was really in the beginning for us. My husband's a go-getter. So for me, it was like being on autopilot. We started the foundation. We both knew we wanted to help children. We wanted to help families who had had issues like this or lost a loved one or a sibling or any child going through grief. And in the beginning, what happened was, you know, there were all these natural disasters that happened. There was a crazy hurricane in Puerto Rico and all these children were stranded. And we were like, okay, let's get to it. And we're just those kind of people that once we start something, we just go, go, go. And we spent years and years doing that. Just the two of us and the volunteers that we could get to come join us, which were many, thank goodness. We have a very supportive community and friend base. But it was, not until actually I had a reading with a medium that I had a shift where I thought, oh, there's something else going on here. Actually, let me correct myself. My husband, who would never in a million years talk to a medium or a spiritualist, came home one night and he said, I've been thinking about this for a couple of days and I have to share something with you. Now, most wives and parents, I was like, okay. I mean, what could it possibly be? Like, we've been through everything at this point. And he shared with me that he had had a reading, and he played the reading for me, which was recorded because everybody's high tech now. And it was like this guy we didn't know was talking to our son, and neither one of us could fathom it. And so then, because of my background is in television, news, daytime TV, I got this, like, and I was still medicated at the time. I was like, I'm going undercover to figure this out. I'm going to go find out if this guy's a fraud. And because I wasn't fully able to embrace it.
Sure.
And so I did do that. I went undercover in Virginia Beach with a pseudonym.
You go, Carla.
I learned to do from one of my TV jobs. Like, I used to have to call people and like use a fake name. So I was like, I'm going to go. And I went. And as you know, Jane, what I discovered was a whole world that I hadn't given much thought to. And a bunch of people who had no idea who I was, but once, and I tell the whole story in my book, it was like a crazy 3-day weekend of all these mediums, and there I was acting like I was a medium, but I had no, it was like, you know, the things people tell you that you can't believe.
Right.
And I was very disappointed that I didn't think Calder was going to come through. And literally at the last second, things settled down and the medium giving the gallery reading said, wait, before everybody goes out of the room, there's a very young spirit here. And I can tell because he's pulling on my pant leg to tell me that he's little. And I was like, and he said, does this name mean anything to anyone? And he said my son's Hebrew name.
Oh,
which,
no. Oof.
Was unbelievable. So that was the door that opened. And then I'm sure you've heard this phrase, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yes, ma'am.
It was like a ball rolling. Like after that, it just, things just kept happening and coming together. It was beautiful. And Calder definitely let me know he was still with me on a daily basis. To this day.
So I know the people that are listening right now are like, what is this foundation? It's Caleb and Calder Sloan's awesome foundation, adventure, laughter, and kindness. This was named for both of your sons. And Caleb is become a spokesperson for this foundation. So tell me about the foundation and what is your goal for the foundation?
Well, that is true. We named it after both of our sons because Caleb is still here and he's a huge part of the foundation. And he has, I like to say he came out of the womb talking, like he's the perfect spokesperson. He used to be in his little swing when he was a baby, like jibber jabbering from 3 weeks old. And he's turned into an amazing soul and person. He just gets up. He does every event with us. He talks about his brother. He talks about helping other children. Our big tagline right now also is kids helping kids, because we want children to understand that they can help. You, as a little person, can start right from your little life helping. In this past event we had, there were little toddlers there filling food bags. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. Oh, they were carrying the cans, putting them in the bags, helping us put it on the truck. It was exactly what we had envisioned.
I love that. How old was Caleb when Calder died?
Caleb was a few weeks shy of 5 years old.
Okay. Man, here's this little boy. I mean, I bet they were really close as brothers, 5 and 7. They probably did everything together. Wow.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing. that you're teaching your son about service and being in the moment and helping other people through something that happened to you and is incredible. So tell me about Mr. Awesome. And I also want to hear about his self-portrait, because that has taken on a life of its own.
It has. Mr. Awesome. Well, my husband used to call her Mr. Awesome.
Okay.
Because he was just such a big personality. He would just like burst into a room and he was just happy and had a huge heart. You could just tell from the time he was a toddler, he was big. And he, in kindergarten, they started drawing self-portraits, and he brought home his kindergarten self-portrait and he showed it to me and he looked at me, he goes, "I don't like this."
I
he was
like,
"I don't like it. I don't like it." Like the way he felt the artist rendering turned out of his own work in kindergarten. And the next year in first grade, they did it again. And he drew it and his teacher took a picture of him. That's what became Mr. Awesome, because that turned out to be exactly what he had in his mind's eye as a little 6-year-old. And he was so proud of it. And they sent us the picture and it was literally on the wall during the art show the week before spring break when Calder crossed. So it was already out there and people are seeing it. And then after he crossed, we would post the picture, or we saw the picture and our friends started to take the picture. They would print it out and take it around the world with them and be like, "Here's Mr. Awesome at the Eiffel Tower." And then slowly but surely it caught on because of our television background. There were celebrities all over the place who started to get copies of Mr. Awesome and hold it up. And we have all these pictures of people, and it really did take on a life of its own. And I think because there's so much joy in the picture. When you look at the picture, Calder is smiling with all of his teeth, just like the drawing he made every detail of every tooth. And it's just like, you can feel the joy radiating from it.
I need a copy of that to add into the show page. I was going to ask you about it. And so I'm glad we're discussing it now, because we'll put your beautiful headshot, but we'll also put Calder's beautiful self-portrait. How did it end up on the side of an airplane?
Well, my husband is a huge aviation fan, which is how Calder got his name. When I was thinking of, what are we going to name? My family does all C names. Carla, Carl, Carrie. My mom got left out because she married in. She's a D, Diana. But I wanted a C name that was significant for us. And Chris, my husband, loves everything airline. And there was an artist named Alexander Calder, who decorated airplanes back in the 70s, the brand of airplanes. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. So we gave him that name. And as things, Chris also writes for airline magazines, and we did a show at the Miami airport for Travel Channel. And they said they had this plane and they wanted to know if they could put our logo on it with Mr. Awesome, so that when people drive by the airport, they remember Calder and they made me think about our foundation. And of course, it was like a dream come true for my husband, and it's so touching for me. And so there it is on the side of the airplane. If you come to Miami, as you're leaving the airport or coming into the airport, it's parked right next to the bridge headed into the airport.
I love that. I'll put up the YouTube video too that tells the whole story.
Thank you.
It's just so beautiful. Carla Kaufman Sloan, you are an Emmy award-winning writer, producer for television. Are you still involved in that world? Are you still involved in the TV side of things?
We still have our production company. And my husband is always working on different projects with that. And he does a lot of the promos you see on TV. The last time I had anything to do with television was when we made an appearance on the Kelly Clarkson show So we went and we were talking about the foundation to Kelly Clarkson, who is true blue, one of the nicest people I've ever met. You can tell, right?
Yeah, immediately.
She is exactly what you see. And they invited us on the show. And, you know, it was the first time in my life I was in front of the camera, because I'm usually behind the camera as a writer or producer. And it was fascinating. But she was lovely. Her executive producer, Alex Duda, is an amazing woman. And they embraced us and they did a long segment. And of course, Caleb was the star of the show. He was, you know, just so comfortable talking to her, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great piece. And, you know, everybody's going to be able to go to, just click on the link for the Caleb and Calder Sloan's Awesome Foundation, because it's cncawesome.org, correct?
Awesomefoundation.org. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have the link for that too. So you can go and it's a really nice, very uplifting website. You can see all of the YouTube videos. You can click on it. You can see what the foundation is up to. You can see what they've done for pool regulations, because you've changed the laws now.
That is true. The laws have been changed, but it's still important for people to be aware, because you just need to check your own pool. You need to have an electrician check it, because laws have changed, but that doesn't mean that someone knocked on your front door and changed your pool light. So It is about keeping the awareness out there.
Yeah, that's great. And there's a whole pool safety tab on your website as well.
Yeah.
I'm so thrilled that you would come on The Next Room. So you're in the process of writing a book, and I know how everything that I've done in my life, and I've been very fortunate, and I've been on stage and I've been backstage and I've interviewed rock stars, and nothing compared to the amount of elbow grease that I had to put into The Next Room. Nothing. So I admire you. Thank you for purchasing the book too. That was very, very, very thoughtful of you. I admire you and I know what's ahead for you. So if I can give you any support with Calder, A Love Story, please know I'm here for you as a resource, and I can connect you to, especially if you go the self-publishing route, to individuals that'll help you. Talk to me about where you are in the process of your brand new book.
Well, I'm in the process as you know, from writing your own book, it was a long process. And I would say that it was the second biggest help to me in the grief journey, because I still get emotional, but I couldn't release the grief out of my body for years. I just held on to it like it was part of me. And it was causing me health issues and all kinds of stuff. And writing the story, I feel like finally let some of the air out of that and allowed me to share not only like how to get through the grief, which never really ends, but to like be able to work your way through it. And also having miraculous things happen along the way, because Calder wasn't going to let me not get through it. He was with me the whole time.
Of course.
Could feel him with his arm. I think you said this in your book. Did you feel your mom's arm around your shoulders?
Yes. Felt her hands, felt her. I could smell her. I could feel her soft skin. Yeah, that was a day where I was just, you know, so filled with grief, and I just needed to feel her. And she said, just stop right now. You know, and I will come to you and show you. And I literally, it was like so many times I'd be out in the studio and I'd be writing, and my husband would like open the door and he'd see me. I'd be like on my keyboard sobbing. It was absolutely the most cathartic situation that I've ever had. So good for you, because when we write, like our good friend Oprah always says, you know, when you get it down, when you write it down, it becomes real, and you can process your grief I encourage anyone that's going through a difficult time. I'm always saying to all my girlfriends, I'm like, are you writing it down? Are you writing about it? Start a blog, start a Facebook page, start a book, you know, write it down, because you process things through writing that you normally don't. You know, when it's just in your head, it's like, ah, the committee, shut it off, you know, but yeah. There's something super powerful about writing it down, even if it's only for you and no one else reads it. And that's kind of what another message that I received from mom too, that I would say to you is, this is for you. This is for you. This is for Calder. This is for you and Calder and Caleb and your husband, Chris. What a beautiful tribute to do this and to have that love story in writing. You know, it's just such a tribute to him, and he won't let you stop. Which brings me to another question. We're almost at the end of the show. Do you communicate with him on a regular basis? Do you feel him coming to you? Are you able to hear him? Are you able to sense him? How is he showing himself from the next room?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. He comes to me anytime I ask. If I sit down, I do my 10-minute meditation and I ask, he comes to me through automatic writing. But I know he's coming because I feel him in my heart and my solar plexus. Like a big wave, of love. And it's amazing. I just really feel like if there's one thing I would say to your listeners who are very much actively into meditating and connecting with their loved ones, the thing I've learned the most is to ask. And if you ask, you will receive. That's just what happens. It took me a long time to realize that, because of fear, because I was like, oh, people are going to think I'm crazy. Oh, my friends aren't going to talk to me. I'm talking to my dad's son. But it's become so beautiful and amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought it up too, because you were talking about the dimes your mom leaves for you.
Right.
Calder also leaves me. He leaves me so many things. My husband's like, I can't keep track of all the signs you get. It's just too many. And I'm like, well, I can't help it. And he said, well, one of the things is I started an Instagram page called @TheHeartLady, because okay. Calder started showing me, I was having a bad day one day, and a heart-shaped leaf showed itself to me on the, like, and I picked it up. Caleb was with me. I was trying to hide my tears from my very smart son. You can't hide anything from children. And he was like, oh, a heart leaf from Calder. And then he just kept going, like, oh, yeah, that happens every day. I
was like, that's beautiful.
And so, then it just started.
Great. The Heart Lady on Instagram. If you're on Instagram, I encourage you to follow Carla Kaufman Sloan. It's sad, but it's so uplifting. And I guess that, you know, that's what happens with this show, because people like yourself are willing to rip it open and say, here I am, you know, and yes, I'm a grieving mother, but I care. I care about other children and other human beings on the planet, and I want to help them, you know, peel back the layers of their grief and kind of break through to that other side. So I'm so honored that you would start this foundation and work with your husband and your other son and anything that we can do to help you. I see the cover of your book, by the way. It has to be his self-portrait. Yeah. It has to be Calder's self-portrait. I mean, it's just perfect.
I know.
And I can see a picture of the family on the back with your little bio. So congratulations. When your book comes out, you are welcome to come back on the show and we will talk all about your new book and we'll sell some copies of that. So that would be awesome. In closing, any final thoughts?
Thank you so much. I was going to say my final thought is, I do believe we have to work hard to change the conversation about grief, because everyone is afraid of it. And, you know, it is unavoidable. And our loved ones literally are always with us, and we don't have to. That doesn't mean we don't feel the pain, because there's no escaping the pain, because the love is so intense for your mother, for my son. It's just, of course there's pain, but not talking about it just perpetuates this shame and feeling like it's other, and it's not. It is part of life. And by not talking about it, I think we drive people into a hole where they feel like they're not going to make it. And I'm telling you, Jane is telling you, you are going to make it, and you can reach out to people to help you in your, you know, in your moments of desperation or grief. And we're here. Like, you can always reach out on Instagram. You can buy the book if you don't want to talk. You can go to the library. You can sign up for free meditations. Even Suzanne Beesman has so many free things on her website that are helpful. Oh, so yeah. You don't have to spend $1 million. You can, exactly. There's help out there.
Suzanne's lovely. I just had such a wonderful time visiting with her. Everyone that's involved in this anthology project, I'm like, Camille Dan, you are amazing. She has pulled together all these phenomenal people. And because I have this podcast, I'm like, this is great. You know, I get to talk to all these fascinating individuals that are part of the anthology project that will be out this summer. So Carla Kaufman Sloan, my guest today, it is Caleb and Calder Sloan's awesome foundation. The show page will have links to the videos and the website and all of the great work that they're doing through this foundation. And hats off to Caleb. I just get such a kick out of him seeing him on camera. And I'm like, this kid's a natural. He is something else. So thank you for all of the beautiful work that you're doing through your foundation. And please let me know when the book is out so I can turn around and purchase it and read it and then have you back on the show to talk about it.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. You've been listening to The Next Room with Jane Asher. The show airs every Monday. And then after it airs on Monday on Empower Radio, it's uploaded to all the other places out there, Apple, and it's on Stitcher Radio. You can find it on iHeartRadio, you name it, any of your favorite streaming platforms, you can find The Next Room. And I really appreciate it because the show grows and it attracts so many cool people that I get to continue to have these wonderful conversations with. So thank you very much. Join me on Facebook. It's The Next Room with Jane on Facebook. On Instagram, it's Jane Asher Rainey. Twitter is at Jane Asher. I'm all over the place. So I appreciate all of your great thoughts and sending me ideas for shows, and keep it coming, because The Next Room is just the next phase of what comes next after this beautiful life. So thank you so much for tuning in. I will talk to you next week on The Next Room.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.